Returning this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 9. Please, 1 Samuel chapter 9. We've been recommenced our little series in Samuel last Sunday morning. I want to read from verse 1 of 1 Samuel 9. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, and the son of Berochah, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a choice and handsome son, whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, "Please take one of the servants with you and arise and go and look for the donkeys." So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and they were not there. Then they passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. When they had come to the land of Zup, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us." And he said to him, "Look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go." Then Saul said to his servant, "But look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?" And the servant answered Saul again and said, "Look, I have here at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way." Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, "Come, let us go to the seer." For he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. As they went up to the hill of the city, they met some young women going out to draw water and said to them, "Is the seer here?" They answered them and said, "Yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to this city because there is a sacrifice to the people today on the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now therefore go up, for about this time you will find him." So they went up to the city. As they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come to me." So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people." Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me, where is the seer's house?" Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today and tomorrow. I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, Do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on your father's house? And Saul answered and said, Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then do you speak like this to me? Amen. And we ask God to bless his very exciting word to us all this morning. As you listen to this story, and as we see Saul here, what's he doing? The question is Saul looking for donkeys that have been lost? Or is he being led by God? Which is it? Looking for lost donkeys, is that all that he's doing here? Or is he being led by God? Well, certainly, we see in verses 1 to 3, he's looking for lost donkeys. His father's donkeys have got lost. So they have. And his father sends his son Saul and a servant out to look for these donkeys. So there's no doubt about it. They're looking for lost donkeys. But there's something else going on here. God is leading Saul. God is leading him to the place he wants him to be. Because we see as he goes to look for these donkeys and as he travels here and there and yonder looking for these donkeys, he comes upon Samuel in verses 17 to 20. And Samuel announces to Saul and is able to say to Saul, Saul, your donkeys are found. But by the way, Saul, I have a message from God for you. God has anointed you to reign over his people, Israel. And so what is going on here? Is he simply looking for lost donkeys, or is he being led by God to become the king of Israel? Well, I think both things are happening. So they are. We see here in this passage that God used where Saul was to lead him to where he wanted him to end up and be. God used where Saul was to lead him to where he wanted him. Where did God want Saul ultimately? Where was it God wanted Saul? Well, we have the answer in verse 17. It says, So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to Samuel, There he is, Saul, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall reign over my people. So here we see clearly where God ultimately wants Saul. He ultimately wants Saul to reign over his people Israel. He wants Saul to be the king of Israel. That's his plan for Saul's life at this point in time. That's where he wanted Saul to reign over his people, to become king. But how did God get Saul to that place? And that's an important question. How did God get Saul from where he was in his father's house, minding the cattle and all that went with that? How did God get him from there to where he wanted him? To be the king reigning over Israel. How did that happen? Well, we've read it. We'll not take time to read it all. It's quite lengthy. But we see how it happened in verses 3 to 16. Read it when you get home at some time this afternoon. It's so exciting as to how God takes Saul from where he was to where he wanted him to be. The first thing that happens is that when Saul is at home, his father's donkeys get lost. And you wonder, how could God use that? That's all part of God's plan. So the donkeys have got lost. So his father Kish sends Saul and a servant out to look for these donkeys. And they go on a donkey hunt. So they do. But it's not a very successful one. They travel to all the places they think the donkeys would be, but they're unsuccessful. And in the end, Saul, he's thinking about just going back home to his father and giving up. But his servant encourages him to go on. And his servant says, you know, I've heard of a man of God who's Samuel. And if we can go to him, he'll be able to help us. He'll be able to show us the way. So that's what they do. The next stage is that in verse 6 onwards, they go and they look for this man of God, the seer, who is Samuel. And they find Samuel and they inquire of Samuel as to where the donkeys might be. And Samuel then tells them that the donkeys are found. And then he announces to Saul, because God has been speaking to Samuel as well, and he announces to Saul that he's the one that God would have to reign over his people, Israel. Verse 20, that's what we have. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, don't be anxious about them. They've been found. And then he says, and on whom is the desire of Israel? Is it not on you, Saul, and on your father's house? So exciting how God takes Saul from where he was to where God wanted him to end up. You see, God used what was going on in Saul's life to lead him to where God ultimately wanted him. And that's so important to realize and understand that. He used what was going on in Saul's life, the lost donkeys, he used that to lead Saul to where God wanted him. And I'm a great believer in that, friends. I'm a great believer that when we are seeking to live our lives in obedience to the Lord, I'm a great believer that God uses where we are now, what we are doing now, to lead us to ultimately where he wants us to be. So he does. Where are you now? What are you doing now? You're working in that office. You're working on that farm. You're working on that factory floor. And I believe, friends, if like Saul, you are seeking to live your life to please God, God is using that to ultimately lead you to where he wants you to be. We don't know where he wants you to be. It may be to remain there, or it may not. But that's what we see happening here. God used where Saul was to lead him to where he wanted him. I see that in my own life, friends, so I do. I see it in so many examples in my own life. I see it now as I look back. I see it going through school. So I do. I wondered why I could never, and I've said it before, why I could never pass my GCSE English, and I still haven't. I only tried it the once. I wondered, why can I not get it? I believe God had a plan in it. Because if I had got it, I probably would have gone into something else. But I believe God used that and used other situations like that to take me to where he wanted me. But also I want you to see here, folks, Saul was led by God because he was living for God. He was led by God because he was living for God and living as God would have wanted him to live. It's interesting in this passage, we don't see Saul seeking God and asking God, what is your will for my life? We don't see Saul doing that. You know, we have this idea, if we want to know the will of God, how do we discover the will of God for our lives? Well, the way we discover the will of God is that we cut ourselves off, we close ourselves away, and we seek God in prayer and through his word. And I have done that, and you have done that, and we must continue to do that, and that is so important, so it is. But we don't see Saul doing that. We don't see him deliberately seeking to know the will of God for his life. But what we do see him doing is living his life for God. Living his life in a way that glorifies God. And I believe as Saul lived his life in a God-honoring manner, God was leading him. It's like the man we read off in Genesis 24, verses 26 and 27. The man there who said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I being in the way, the Lord led me. I was where God wanted me. And so God just continued to lead me. Great believer in that. Great believer for seeking to live our lives for God in a way that honors God. God will lead you. So he will. And that's what Saul was doing. He was living his life for God. What do I mean by that? How was he? Well, two words that come to mind. The first word is honor. Honor. Saul was living his life in an honorable way. Who was he honoring? Well, we see in verses 3 to 5, the first person he was honoring was his father Kish. 1 Samuel 9, verse 3. It says, Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, Please take one of the servants with you and arise and go and look for the donkeys. Verse 5. So when they had come to the land of Zup, Saul said to a servant who was with him, Come, let's go back to my father, lest he stop worrying about the donkeys and start worrying about us. So here we see a man, and I believe at this point Saul was probably married. They had a young child called Jonathan by this stage. But here we see a man who honored his father, who grew up honoring his father. His father sends him out to look for these donkeys. He goes. They've searched to the field, they can search no more. And now Saul is starting to think about his father. He says to his servant, you know what, we should just go back home to dad. Because he's going to be worried about us. And so here we see a young man, and he's honoring his father. Honoring his father. When I say this young man was living for God, it's as practical as that. How do we live for God? Young people, children, we live for God by honoring our father and mother, as we're told in Scripture. Here was a young man who had the utmost respect for his father. He obeyed his father. His father sent him out to look for the donkeys and he went. But he was thinking about his father when he was away. He was afraid of his father worrying about him, so he was going to go back home to his father. This is a young man who's living his life for God. And he does that by honoring his father and mother. Young people, you can live your life for God by honoring your father and mother. By having respect for them. But we also see this young man was living his life for God in another way. He was honoring his wife. Honoring his wife. I believe he was married by this stage. I believe he had a son, Jonathan. He was honoring his wife. Did you notice what it says in verse 2 about Saul? It said that Kish had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was no more a handsome person than Saul among all the children of Israel. From his shoulders upwards, he was taller than any of the people. So here we get some idea of what Saul looked like. We get the impression he was tall and he was handsome as well. The sort of guy that if he walked into church, all the single girls would be nudging each other. That's who we're talking about here. So we are. But if we come down to verse 11, on his journeys, he and his servant, they're trying to find Samuel or the seer to ask the seer to help them, to guide them, to give them something from God, is that they might know where the donkeys are. And as they try to find the seer, or Samuel, this man of God, it says in verse 11, as they went up the hill to the city, they met some young women going out to draw water. They met some young woman going out to draw water, and Samuel said to them, "Do you know where the seer's house is? Do you know where the man of God is?" He's not sidetracked by these young women. These young women were probably nudging each other and saying, "Look at him." But he's not sidetracked. He's focused on the task in hand. He remembers that he's a married man. He may be handsome. He may be away from home. No one can see him. He meets this group of young women. But he just asks the question, "Do you know where the seer's house is?" And he goes on about his business. This was a godly young man. Lived his life for God. Lived his life for God by honoring his father and mother. Lived his life for God by honoring his wife. By being faithful to his wife. Husbands. Husbands to be in the future. However far that might be in the future, I don't know. Make sure you honor your wife. Make sure you are faithful to your wife. Because you know, if you're not, it doesn't matter how big your Bible might be or anything. Godliness, being men of God, it involves honoring, being faithful to our wives. No wonder God led this young man. We don't see him on his knees seeking God's will. He lived his life for God, and God led him. Also, we see his godliness and his humility. His humility. In verses 3 and 4, his father says to him, "Son, will you take one of the servants and go and look for the donkeys? Go and look for the donkeys." You know, Saul could have thought, "This is below me. Looking for a lot of donkeys." You know, but he's so humble. And he's faithful to what his father asks him to do. And he goes out and he's looking for the donkeys. He's humble enough to do the small things. To do the small things. That's what true godliness is. True godliness is honoring your father and mother. True godliness is honoring your wife. True godliness is being humble enough to do the small things that need done around the church. The things that no one sees. Things that equates with looking for donkeys. Saul was humble enough to do that. But he was humble enough to do something else. We see in verses 6 to 10. He was humble enough after they'd looked for the donkeys and they were unsuccessful to ask for God's help. To ask for God's help. He was ready to go home, and the servant said to him in verse 6, "Look now, there is in this city a man of God. He is an honorable man. All that he says comes to pass. So let's go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go." Verse 10, Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let's go." He was humble enough to ask for the help of God. Sometimes I'm too proud to ask for God's help. So I am, and I try to muddle through myself. And in the end, you have to ask for God's help. True godliness, as we see in Saul, shows itself in a readiness to seek God's help, to turn to God and say, "I don't know the way." Like Hannah has just done this morning, sending a text through Dion to say, "Will you ask the church to pray that God would show me his will?" That's true godliness. No wonder God led Saul just where he was. Because we see in Saul a man living his life for God. We also see his humility in his sense of unworthiness. Unworthiness. Whenever he meets Samuel, and Samuel announced to him that the desire of Israel is upon you, Saul. God has chosen you to reign over his people. And Saul hears this. And he replies in verse 21 to Samuel, "Am I not a Benjamite? I'm of the smallest of the tribes of Israel. And my family, they're the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then do you speak like this to me?" He's this sense of unworthiness. Samuel has just said, the desire of Israel is upon you, Saul. God has chosen you to be a king over his people Israel. And Saul just can't put it all together. And he says, "Who am I? I'm just a Benjamite. I'm from the smallest of the tribes of Israel. My family, they're the least of all the families of Israel. And God has chosen me." I felt so unworthy. Again, we see his humility. No wonder God chose him. No wonder God led him. Even though he wasn't deliberately, consciously seeking to know the will of God, and there's a time and place for doing that. He was just getting on with his life. But as he just was getting on with his life, looking for donkeys, God was in it. God was leading him. And friends, this morning, if you seek to live your life for God in as practical a way as that, as honoring your father and mother, honoring your wife, practicing a genuine humility which shows itself in a willingness to do the small things, shows itself in a willingness to ask God's help when you don't know the way, well then God will lead you. He will lead you. He is leading you where you are now. And then finally, as we conclude, what a story, what a roller coaster for Saul. From looking for donkeys to leading a nation. From looking for lost donkeys to leading a nation, to leading God's people. That's the journey he made. We'll see that more in subsequent weeks. But that's where we see him here, out looking for lost donkeys. But soon, he'll be leading God's people. Did looking for lost donkeys qualify him to be the king of Israel? Not at all. Not at all. You don't see the connection. What has looking for lost donkeys got to do with leading Israel? Nothing at all. You see, when it comes to God, past and present is no guide to the future. That should really excite you this morning. The past and the present is no guide to the future, to where God would have you, what God would have you do in the future. And I saw that even reflected in my own class in college. You had guys there who were joiners and builders, electricians, salesmen, secretaries. That was their past. What's your past? What's your present? Milking cows. Maybe that's your future. Maybe that's what God has planned for you. Working in that office. Maybe that's your future. Maybe not. But what I want you to see this morning, friends, is your future, what God has for you in the future, is not determined with what you did in the past. I did nothing in the past. So I didn't. Nothing at all, really. Your past will not determine your future with God. And you see also, folks, when it comes to God and God's way of doing things, it's a case of no experience necessary. No experience necessary. You know, if I was going for a job outside of what I do now, I would have to look for a job like that, for I have no experience of doing anything else. But you know, you don't get jobs like that. Whatever job it is, it always says experience necessary. But you know, when it comes to God, it's not the case. No experience necessary because God equips. What experience did Saul? Looking after donkeys. Finding donkeys when they went, got themselves lost. He'd no experience. Little experience anyway. But that didn't stop him. Stop God from taking him and using him to be king over his people, Israel. I don't know what this means for people today. Maybe for someone this morning, God is moving you out. Moving you out in a very real sense. God is taking you from where you are. Whether that's looking for lost donkeys or whatever it's doing. And maybe God is leading into full-time kind of ministry. Or maybe for some this morning, God is saying, I want you to be more involved in the church now. Don't worry, you don't have experience from the past. I want you just to be willing and ready to go, to do whatever needs doing. Because if you are, I will equip you and I will be with you. I believe when it comes to God's guidance, it's something that we should all be concerned about as Christians. Sometimes we have this idea that it's only those in full-time paid ministry that need to worry about making sure they're in the will of God and God's guidance. I believe we all need to be concerned about it. I don't think we should be worried about it. I believe we should learn from Saul, and as we live our lives for God and seek to do that, to know that where we are now, what we are doing now, God is in that. And God is leading. And God is guiding to where he wants you to be and to what he would have you to do. Let us pray.